Good morning, everybody. I think they see it for everybody. I can't believe we're full. It looked like we were empty and we had to go rent a craft. But somehow the flight filled up. Are we connected to London, Greg? Okay. Just before I start, Bernard reminded me on something that he says you never do. So I'll start off by thanking a number of people who actually get us to this point without any fuss and their heads down. So I'll start off with Ursula and her team in Investor Relations, Tanya DeSantis, who helped me put the presentation together, and Michelin and his team who helped get the numbers straight. And the audit chairman of the audit committee makes sure everything's okay, and the group head of finance and risk also makes sure everything's okay, Glenn Berger. So he hates it when I mention his name, but it doesn't matter. He operates in the background. So I'm sort of by, I think if we look at the results for the 6 months, I think we've continued to enhance our international offering. We continue to grow our client base and continue to build out our franchise. In our wealth and investment business had inflows of £1.1 billion and our asset management business had inflows, net inflows of £2.9 billion, which, you know, factoring the circumstances and what was going on in this last 6 months, I think that was a very good achievement. The Global Specialist Bank was substantially ahead of the prior year, both from a statutory point of view and from an ongoing point of view. We've seen good levels of activity in our UK banking business. I think the South African businesses continue to show strong growth. Again, good penetration of our client base, and we had a good performance from our fixed income and investment portfolios. Remember last year we had a write-down, a particular investment in Hong Kong, which was not repeated in this year as well. So if we look at the statutory results, and I'll start off with the statutory results, then we'll switch to ongoing. I think we showed a operating profit up 16.1% to £279.4 million. And adjusted earnings per share 13.2% to 22.3 pence. And the dividend of 9.5p, which is up 11.8%. For those of you who haven't worked it out in Rand, it is up 46%. So a big bonus to the South African shareholders in terms of the dividend payout. And I think that the dividend probably in Rand has doubled over the last 2 years, if I go back 3 or 4 years. I think, you know, the sale of the businesses that we completed do distort these numbers, comparability. So that's why we will concentrate on the ongoing business, which we stripped out the legacy, and we'll give you again more color on the legacy, and the two together come to the statutory results. So I wouldn't say it was the best operating environment. In fact, it was quite a choppy operating environment. I think you saw very volatile exchange rates, but obviously a big portion of our revenue streams are in Rand, and so the translation was very negative on the results. The Rand took a hiding, depreciated 16.6% from March, but on average 8.5%, which is not too different from what happened in the previous period. But I think, you know, even if you take the Australian dollar, okay, we don't have a big Australian business, you know, the depreciation was not too far away from the rand. So that's really not only a South African issue, but a commodity economy issue and a emerging market issue. But the equity markets were not happy, fellas. Euro 50 down 16%, JSE down 4%. So the rand did help the JSE from taking the smack that some of the other markets took, but still was down. Dow Jones down 8.4 and the FTSE down 8.9. So we weren't in rising markets anywhere in the world. I think if you come back to Investec, our business model is nice and diversified. You can see that if we look at the ongoing business, we're almost 50-50 rand pound or rand international currency, but it is mainly sterling. And with the recovery of the specialist bank over the last few years, you can see that specialist banking generates about 68% of the bottom line, and wealth and investment together with asset management about 32% of the bottom line. So again, it demonstrates that there is revenue diversity in the group. As the one lot hits headwind, so the other lot comes of age. And that's the nature of the business we have constructed. So if you look at third-party assets under management and neutral currency, we're still down. So that would be markets, which we're down, I think, from £124 billion to £113 billion, and that would be markets and currency. And then we have continued to see good growth in our core loans and advances to customers, as well as our customer deposits. And I think very strong growth in South Africa, more moderate growth in the UK. It was about 2% in the UK, but a lot of activity, so you had good volume and good redemption, and a lot of redemption, but good momentum. So that would have driven operating income up. And again, we're looking at ongoing here. So we're almost £1 billion in terms of operating income for the half year. That's on a currency neutral basis, but we were £992 million overall for the 6 months. I think obviously as the UK economy recovers, we've seen a significant drop off in impairment. And the impairments mainly arise from our legacy book, although we do have some in the ongoing book. South Africa, we haven't ever segregated legacy, so the impairments ongoing and legacy are identical. And we have, this has been a trend that has been taking place since September 2011. And I think we're actually on top of our game. The UK economy is quite good, so we expect this trend to continue coming down. In the UK, South African economy obviously is in a much more difficult space, and we probably could have, although we're doing quite well on recoveries, there are segments of that economy that are weak. And we've given you our exposure to the mining industry, 2.7% of credit and counterparty exposure, of which £181 million is on the PLC balance sheet. That's unrelated to South Africa, and £329 million would be related to South Africa. And you can see the mix, 42% gold, 22% coal. The coal is primarily South Africa, 21% iron ore, 7% platinum, and other mining about 8%. So, we would regard that as moderate exposure, and I think we believe that it's all manageable, but we may have some impairment that could come out of that area over the next while. I think our fixed costs are up. I maybe use the wrong word there, marginally, up 8% in sterling. And that is in the ongoing business, in the overall business, up 2%. We've had strong growth in fixed costs in costs in South Africa. And we'll give color on that later. But overall, you can see operating costs up 8%, revenue up 11.2%. So the jaws are opening up, the crocodile is opening its mouth, and I think that's a good sign for us that we're growing revenue far faster than costs. There are some extraneous items still floating around in costs, but we are trying to grow the business, and if you look at asset management, we're investing in distribution platforms. If you look at our wealth business, we're investing in IT and infrastructure, as well as, we've been taking on more portfolio managers. And if you look at our specific banking business, we're spending a lot of money in the private bank in particular to support growth, and we're also very active on our digital strategy. So that's why you are seeing we're also growing headcount at the moment. So overall, ongoing, up 16.5% in operating profit, earnings per share up 13.3%, very similar to statutory neutral currency, up 19.1%. Shareholders equity down. That does include what we call, perpetual pref. We did call some in the UK, €200 million, which would have had an impact. The rest of the impact is the currency, which was, as we told you right at the front, quite brutal in this period. Customer accounts down in pounds, up in neutral currency. Similar applies to core loans and advances. Down in pounds, up in neutral currency. So when you look at the results in Rand, obviously the translation would help us, and I'm talking at the South African shareholder base, up 27% at an operating profit level and up 24% at adjusted earnings per share level. So you can thank Bernard for the extra dividend, because the dividend was up a lot more than operating profit in the translation. ROE, we now are meeting our ROE hurdle of 12.6, but if you look at the ongoing ROE of 14.8, that's getting to the kind of number that we would expect. And that you must remember that half our income comes from an environment where rates are still exceptionally low. So you get nothing on your capital. So I think our earnings per share growth are covered. Cost income ratio almost back into line with our target of 65%. There's still, even in the ongoing business, some legacy. I don't want to call it legacy of, you know, some of the sub-debt raised at higher prices than we'd have to raise today. And once that normalizes, this will come back into line. Our dividend cover, you know, within our target of 2.3, which is where we've historically been. So our capital position, I think we're well above our hurdles, our targets in the UK. We still have, we meet all our total capital targets. In South Africa, we still have a bit of a way to go to get to our tier one, core tier one above 10 by March 2016. We probably will be there or thereabouts. Remember, we also, on standardized, we're moving to advanced, and we would expect net of additional IFRS adjustments, by the time we get to advanced, that number should be up by 1.1% across both total and core. So, and then if you look at our leverage ratios, we're way ahead of, we're well within our comfort level and way ahead of what the regulatory minimums are. So if we look at our divisions, I think, as I mentioned on asset management, we still had positive net inflows. We, you know, our performance is competitive. We've seen a marked improvement in the performance in South Africa, which was an area, there were one or two portfolios that were under stress, that weren't performing well. We've seen quite a big turnaround in that. And we have no net outflows in the South African business, which last year you saw some net outflows. I think operating profit down 8%, that would be two factors. One, a weaker performance in the South African silo. We are up in the UK. In fact, we make quite a lot more money there than we make in South Africa today. And we also have a lot more funds under management. And that's more a global business, not a UK-specific business. And our operating margin slightly squeezed. It normally is about 34%, but slightly squeezed from the lack of performance fees on the South African side. And then, you know, ROE is still a big, big number because this business has been primarily built organically. So on the outlook, I think we still see weakness in emerging currencies, market currencies. That has put a lot of pressure on our earnings in sterling terms. So overall, if last day is exactly what it is, we'd expect earnings in this business to be lower than last year. But we believe that we have the business is in pretty good shape. We have stable leadership, very good people, and good client support. So, you know, you go through these seasons. I think wealth business similarly, net inflows £1.1 billion. Operating profit more or less flat. You had good growth in South Africa. We're spending a lot of money on growth initiatives in our European silo, in Switzerland. We just opened up an office in Hong Kong, and we are busy developing our digital offering that we expect to be launched by the second quarter of next calendar year, so in the quarter end of June. And then, again, you know, for the third year running, both our wealth business and private bank together have been ranked as the best private bank and wealth manager in South Africa. So ROE, slight improvement, and I think part of that is the exchange rate, the fact that part of our growth, our earnings would have grown if it was not for the exchange rate, and part of that would be the amortization of intangibles. Operating margin slightly down as a consequence of the additional money that we've spent. So again, I think it is a more challenging environment for this kind of business, but we're confident that we're investing in the right things. We're getting really good people, and we're actually managing to attract quite good flows. So overall, you know, very robust, resilient business, but is affected by markets. I think on the banking side had, you know, probably much better conditions on the ground. Our corporate and private banking businesses both had very good momentum. I think we are doing quite well in penetrating our market. We did acquire an import solutions business during this period, which is being integrated into the corporate business. It is a corporate banking type business, helps corporates with their imports and the funding of those imports. We did used to own 49% of it, and we took out the balance of the shares. And then, again, I think you see good growth in operating profit, 29%. ROE now starting to get to the kind of levels that we expect from the mix of business that we have, 18.2% pre-tax, cost-to-income ratio down to 58.5%. But I think our target is about 55. So, and our capital allocated to that business was £2.36 billion. So, you know, we're still seeing positive momentum at this point in time. Obviously, the overall South African market is difficult, the UK much better. And there are structural challenges in the South African economy, as most South Africans would be familiar with. But we are still seeing good activity in both our corporate market and our private client market, which does tell you that you're in a bit of a tale of two cities. There's parts of South Africa that are growing, and there are parts that are just lost. And that's really what we're experiencing. So we're exposed to the urban type growth markets, whereas if you look at the macro South African picture, there's a whole part of it that is just going nowhere or going backwards at the moment. So, again, I've spoken about loans and deposits, but we are seeing growth in neutral currency in both loans and deposits. I think if you look at our mix of income in our specialist bank, you can still see strong growth in net interest income, strong growth in fees and commissions. Last year we had a problem in a particular investment that gave us a smack. That's not repeated in this period, so we got good growth in both our unlisted investment portfolio and our fixed income portfolio. So overall, you know, on investment income and trading income, there was an improved performance. Together, they make up about 17% of our revenue. They're normally between 15 and 20 in any particular year. That's the volatile component. The other revenue streams are much more stable. 72% of our revenue is annuity income. So again, good growth in fees and commissions, mainly from our corporate treasury, corporate structuring, and our property fund management businesses, and also from our private banking businesses where we have good client activity. We did have lower fees in our UK corporate finance business. As I said, it was a very difficult period for market-type businesses, and I think you saw some of the global investment banks who didn't perform that well in the last quarter, and that was reflected in lower levels of activity, although we do have a good pipeline. And then, again, net interest income is a reflection of good growth in loans and advances. So if we get to the legacy business, it's now down to £645 million. The loss incorporated in these earnings is about £35 million. Of the expenses of 11, we did say to last year that those would start to come down. £6 million relates to some old Kensington stuff that had to be sorted out. In the same period of the previous year, there was about £3 or £4 million related to that same Kensington stuff incorporating legacy. And so at least £6 million will drop out of those expenses in the second half of the year. Impairment, you know, you never know, but we are seeing some good workouts coming through, but I mean, so we would expect impairments to drop off a bit more. But you can see we're in line with what we said to you in March in terms of where we'd be in September, and we expect to be at about £600 million in March unless there's opportunities to sell overall portfolios. This whole portfolio, as we mentioned before, is not in default. The little graph on the right will give you the mix between performing and default, but you can see almost the Irish planning assets don't even touch bars on the graph anymore because we've got them down to quite a low net level. And the corporate assets have all been cleared. So it's still work on the old private client assets, but we're well on the path. Then if we look at the overall group, 54% of our revenue comes from capital light activity. So we've always had the had the philosophy of building capital light alongside more capital intensive. Net interest income only 29%, and as I said, investment income and trading income 17%. Annuity fees 43%, and other fees which come from transactions and deals and advice and all those kinds of things 11%, including some of our transactional banking services, which you could argue are they would be an annuity because they're ongoing. So I think, you know, the business model is working, and it's enabling us to start generating the right kind of ROE. So if we look at asset management, I don't think it's a significant change in its strategic priorities. It is a client-driven business. Investing performance is always key. They're still building out multi-asset and global equity offerings. There's a lot of investment taking place in distribution in our North American and Asian business, and that obviously Africa is not flavor of the year. It's not rising anymore at the moment. It's going through a bit of a hiccup, but there is still opportunity for a new growth in Africa. You saw the other day Investec Asset Management launched a property fund in Africa. So it is important we're still pulling in the right talent, which we all believe we are doing, and we have to continue to make our operating platform scalable. So half that business is emerging market funds, and including South Africa, and half is global. And if you look at where our flows have come from in this particular period, very strong flows from Europe, 2 billion quid, America, 355 million quid, Africa went positive against negative last year, and Asia Pacific, 465 million. So they don't always come from the same place. Important for us is long-term. Clearly Europe and America are very important. I think what a lot of South Africans would get is a significant portion of investable money, actually. I think 85% of it comes from that part of the world, which I think in Africa, the people tend to forget that sometimes. If we look at our wealth business in the period, we have got, you know, four platforms in Europe, London, Switzerland, Ireland, and the Channel Islands. We've just recently opened the Hong Kong office. I think we got our license the other day. And then in South Africa, we also opened up Mauritius. So you can see we have historically been talking about internationalizing the wealth business. Growth in funds under management were weaker in this period, mainly as a consequence of weakness in markets. So when markets come off in this kind of business, you do swim upstream. But it's important for us to continue to build the infrastructure and grow the distribution and attract more flows. So we are building and leveraging our private office offering. That is below the private, the family office, but still very wealthy people. We have seen very good integration between the private bank and the wealth business in terms of a consistent offering to that channel. And then we're doing a lot of work on the digitization. We have launched the South African digitization offering to our clients in South Africa. We haven't opened it up further than that. And the UK one, as I said, end of the second quarter of next year. So, again, coming back to the UK specialist bank, I think we have benefited from dislocation. I think we are becoming a domestically relevant business with an international network. We built a solid high net worth franchise, very strong in the mid-cap corporate space. Our corporate finance team have advised on the largest number of deals since 2012 cumulatively, and we're in the top five in value. We really have got traction in that market, and our strategy was to be in the mid-cap space. And you overlay that with some of our areas of specialization, which is credit finance, structured finance, asset finance, aircraft finance, and power and infrastructure finance, you get a very strong positioning in that market. And I think that a lot of analysts don't understand the mix of income that we've already created. So, again, the South African business, you know, we've got a leading private bank, we've got a leading corporate advisory business, we've got a very strong position in the corporate and institutional bank, we've got a leading property business, and, you know, so we have a lot of traction in this business, and I think that, again, we are attracting clients, and again, you can see a good mix of income between interest income, fees, investment income, and customer flow, trading income. We're not a big trading bank, so we never have been. No, 25 years ago we were, and then we learned not to pump the house. So again, I think on the UK bank, what the key things for us to do over the next while is continue the shift from a product-based model, UK is very product-based, to a private client-centric model. We know Kieran is based now in the UK probably 85-90% of his time, and you know, that's something that he's really out to do. And then there's good collaboration, but we need to continue to enhance that between the private bank and our wealth and investment business. We are being very careful in the building out of the professional banking business. We have good products for the upper end of the market. We haven't yet got what we have in South Africa, entry-level products, and we'll have to be very niched in that approach. And then continue to build out the mid-cap offering in our corporate space. So, you know, and then obviously the digitization strategy we'll hop on in a moment. I think, you know, for South Africa, it is a strong business model. I think it's just, you know, we continue to grow this business organically. We continue to try and perpetuate our positioning in the corporate and institutional banking market. And then, as I said, we bought Blue Strata. That gives us another product offering into the corporate market, and we're seeing a lot of interest in that, and it's already got traction. So I think, you know, we're quite comfortable where we always just have to maintain momentum. Again, in a difficult environment. Digitization, I think this is not an event, this is a journey. We've made significant progress over the last 3 or 4 years. The project, as we know, will never reach completion. You're keeping on adding people, adding ideas, adding tweaks to whatever you're doing. I think the beauty, we have already set up the global platform in one place. I think there's a picture missing. I think that has worked very well. On the South African investment portfolio, personal portfolio, we've had the banking platform since 2014, and that the personal portfolio has been recently launched. So we will be able to offer our clients abroad, and you can put all your bank accounts on our platform and know exactly what's going on with your bank accounts. But in addition to that, you will in time be able to put all your wealth management and investment on our platform, as opposed to just what you have with Investec. The online portfolio platform has already been launched. 17,000 clients already online. It's only been promoted to 90,000 clients, and that's in the last year. And then on the UK, I mentioned Click and Invest, which will come at the end of the second quarter of next year, not financial year, calendar year. So now this thing, you see there, I said there was something missing, sort of like coming phases. Anyway, it's in your book. I think the other thing that we've just done, which we announced today, is we've taken the portfolio of our private equity assets and injected into a vehicle which we'll call Investec Equity Partners. Investec will have a 45% stake alongside strategic investors. Of the strategic investors, management would have about 11 to 12% stake, and as opposed to historically, they operated with a carry or a property, whatever you want to call it. So that will be executed by, I think, January the 1st. We're still waiting for regulatory approval. I think what it does for us is that, you know, we've raised an additional 10 billion rand of new equity for that vehicle, and that does enable us to grow those underlying companies and take advantage of investment opportunities. And I think we think that there's quite a big opportunity in that space without straining our capital and enabling it, you know, giving it the freedom to have wings. So I think it is quite a good step for us, and I'll talk about the management structures around that in a moment. I think the next thing we also announced today is the positioning of the new generation of leadership. I think for us, we have restructured certain operating responsibilities. We've always had Hendrik du Toit running well, asset management, Steve Illett, together with Henry Blumenthal and Jonathan Ragg in the UK running Investec Wealth. And then the banking business, Festus Bank, I was still running it together with Bernard. So what we've done is we put in leadership for the Specialist Bank. It has been historically our policy to drive business from within, and all our leaders have had extensive history with our group, some 30 years, 20 to 30 years, and you know, they're all supported by experienced management team. So just to give you color, Lindberger is still global head of risk and finance, and he's a director on the main board. Nishkan Samaj, who was chief, previously financial manager of the group, will be chief financial officer. Our global specialist bank, we are appointing Kieran Whelan, who many of you have known for a long period of time, and Dave van der Walt, who's based in London, as the heads, joint heads of our specialist bank. Kieran continues to be head of the private banking businesses around the world, and David, the corporate institutional banking business around the world. And David continues as chief executive of Investec Bank PLC. On the South African front, I think this is a big change from before. I was previously chief executive officer of Investec Bank Limited. Richard Wainwright is sitting in the front here. We'll take the reins as soon as we get regulatory approval. We're still in the regulatory process. I think as from a geographic point of view, Glenn and Richard will be... Glenn was always one of the two geographic leaders. Andy, I'll talk about Andy in a moment. Well, he's having a shift of focus, and Richard Wainwright will join Glenn as the joint geographic head, looking after the South African region. The Investec Equity Partners business, which will be the South African-focused investment vehicle, Andy will become executive chairman. He does continue with our group as a senior executive, and will continue to look after our key corporate clients, as well as assist the rest of the organization in working with those corporate clients and continue providing the kind of support that historically has provided to Bernard and myself on corporate strategy and advice. So those are the key changes that we have made. I think we're very excited about this next journey for us. I think it does show that there are very good people within our organization who can pick up the ball and run with it. They are all very, very seasoned, and they've built very, very good businesses and run the businesses. So it is an orderly transitioning process from our point of view. Bernard and I will still be around, irritating everybody. We will focus on, you know, people, culture, strategy, clients, and, you know, we shift from being operational to portfolio managers. And Clint thinks he's got less work, but he's got a lot more work. So in closing, I think we believe as a firm we're very well positioned to grow across our businesses. We have restructured and aligned our areas of activity. I think we took some very tough decisions 2 years ago. Everyone is shouting at us this time in September 2013. We had to make tough decisions. Some, you know, not so happy ones, but still, we had to make them. I think that's the important thing, we made them. We have built domestically relevant businesses that are also internationally networked, and I think that helps us a lot as an organization. We balance our franchise business with our specialist niches, and that creates an opportunistic overlay, enabling us to switch quite quickly when things get a little less heated. We have a very strong culture. We think we attract very good talent, which allows diversity and innovation to flourish, and that we believe we have a depth of leadership that will enable us to continue to grow. So, but with all that said and done, I think we're still in an uncertain macro environment. Markets are volatile. You have a lot of challenges in the South African social and economic horizon, which we've seen play out over the last 2 months. I think, as I said to you, it is a bit of a tale of two cities, but we nevertheless remain very positive on our current position and prospects for the business. So I think our current levels of activity are supporting performance as we focus on providing value for shareholders an exceptional experience for our clients. So that's what we're trying to achieve in life. We want to deliver to our shareholders and to our clients. So it is important for us to continue on this path, and I thank you all for attending. I suppose this for the half year is a bit more on the table than historically, but you know, we have to keep batting. So thank you. We're now going to go to questions. Where's he gone? Chad? Yeah, I think you can tell me I went too long because I went 35 minutes. But we started a few minutes late, so I was only 30. But Kamisa, what you going to ask me? Are you going to ask in the passages, eh? And you and I still a lot of dialogue to have. Okay, we're going there. We're in South Africa, question.
Thanks, Stephen. Hi, it's Harry Blitzer from Avial Capital.
Ah, I've never seen you. You're a tall guy. Sure. I just see what you write.
Yeah, thanks very much. Just like to ask a quick question on the South African private bank, if I can. Yes. Can you possibly give us an indication of profitability there, say ROE relative to your ROE targets of 12 to 16%?
Well, Dion Katz, who runs the banking business, tells me he's above my ROE targets. In fact, every time I see him, he says, now I've just moved from 16 to 18. So they're in that vicinity.
Great. Thanks very much.
It's a very good franchise. Okay. More questions in SA. Okay, should we switch to the UK? Dave, any questions there? Where's
any questions there? Can I just say before we do this, there is a 6-second delay between here and South Africa, so try not to have a conversation, just pose a question and we'll get an answer. Any questions?
Where?
No questions, Stephen.
Where's that gone? A numerous uncle, is he gone? Okay. Okay, I think, well, that's it. I know some of you will, well, I've finally gotten the story here. The passage. Okay, any questions? No, I'm finished now. That's it, thank you.